When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome in to 11 Personnel. That's me, Nick Roush, screaming through your YouTube tonight, along with Adam Luckett, and as always, presented by our good friends at Monticello Bank. Luckett, Kentucky lost to Tennessee. We're moving past that. We're on to Starkville. We're going to talk a lot about that Mississippi State game. But before we get into all that, we got a lot to clean up from around the world of college football, because the sport has gotten extra sillier than normal. So I'm looking forward to that quite a bit. I mean, just a lot of tomfoolery happening, and we even got Maxson back. Like, Connor Bazelak just threw a touchdown. Who knew he was playing for Bowling Green now? I certainly didn't. That was a fun little surprise.
And we haven't even gotten into the coaching carousel yet. So, I mean, but it's really gotten off the rails. I mean, this has just kind of been a wonky season. When Northwestern and Michigan State, their coaches get fired randomly for scandals. Then you've got, I mean, this Connor Stallion story just gets wilder by the day. I could expect anything in this story. I mean, it just feels like it's so layered, and like they've broken the surface and they're just going to keep finding stuff. Now, like, it's even the sleuths online could just crunch tape of Michigan opponents and find him on the sideline, apparently.
They're crunching more tape than he crunched of other teams. I mean, that's where we're at now. It's like a fun game of Where's Waldo, except college football edition. It's about as random as it gets. Central Michigan did not expect Jim McElwain to factor into this equation.
Well, but it's not surprising. Of course, for someone's team, for him to be on the sideline, of course, it's Jim McElwain. So not surprised by that. So that has been just, I mean, it's been wild that how that's all shook out and how it's going to continue, I think, to shake out. It's going to be interesting to follow here over the next couple months.
Do a college football sideline.
You're breaking up there, Nick. Could you say, could we get on a college football sideline?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Nick's breaking up here. Could we get on a college football sideline? I think we could pretty easily. Thing with that is, it's just like anything. If you act like you know what you're doing, then it's pretty easy. I know Nick's going back and forth. I'll ad lib here a little bit. I think that there was a game day did the huge feature on the Texas A&M guy who was just got a pass somehow and was just on the A&M sidelines while they beat Bama, was in the locker room. So there's so many people with these football operations. Like, if you have a pass, you could do pretty much almost anything. And I think that's what you saw with Stallions. We got Nick on the move here. I think he's muted right now, probably for a good reason. He's talking, but we can't hear him. At least I can't. I'm sure he's saying some words that are not safe for the YouTube show here. At least we would need a parental advisory on that. But that's our Decaeus Bar internet. It's not working. Now we got Peek on the show. So we're doing the whole thing here. 11 Personnel, everybody. Week 10, things get a little wonky. We're going to try to reset here. So in the meantime, let's just open up the chat, Q&A, AMA. Ask me anything here, and this is kind of how we'll do the show here for the next few minutes. So we'll ask away. Heath Billy asks, tell me why UK shouldn't win going away this Saturday. I'm kind of with you here, Heath, which we'll explain later in the show. Kentucky matches up well, and Mississippi State has an awful pass defense. Should be a good day for Devin Leary in that Kentucky throw game. Every quarterback that plays Mississippi State this year is having a career game. Their numbers are worse than Kentucky's. So I think Kentucky should score 30-plus points in this game. I really do. And then Mississippi State, it sounds like they'll be without Will Rogers potentially, maybe even Woody Marks, their best two players on offense. That lines up for Kentucky. Chaka asks, question for Luckett. Cam Dooley chances, I think that's really good. Safety from Alabama, basketball player, 6'3", 6'4", can really move. He's got a nice athletic profile, just started playing football late in his career. It was Kentucky, Vandy, in Missouri in June. He took official visits, ended up at Missouri committing. Now he's back out of that after Kentucky's turned the heat up on him. But they're not the only ones. Wisconsin has offered. Maryland has offered. He's supposed to visit Florida this week. Florida's been in to see him there in Alabama, so that's one to watch. But I really like Kentucky's chances there to get Cam Dooley. It sounds like he's going to visit next weekend when Nick Saban brings the Crimson Tide to Lexington. Any portal QB names to watch out for? I think it's a little early for that, Walker. We're still trying to uncover what's going to happen. I think Malik Murphy at Texas is obviously one everyone's going to watch, see what happens with him. Play good last week, get to Kansas State this week, see what happens with him. Blake Shapen at Baylor is an interesting one for me. Baylor runs a pro-style wide zone offense, and he's been good when he's been healthy, Blake Shapen at Baylor. So that's a guy I would keep an eye on. Like, if I was making a short list, he would be on it for what Kentucky wants to do. And I believe we got Nick back now.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. You're looking good now.
Well, something's... This office, nothing can ever just go right the way it's supposed to.
Is the temperature okay? Is the temperature okay up there at least?
It's fine. You know, a little on the chilly side, but I'm not. It's football weather. You know, we're not playing through the snow in the glass bowl, but we're making do. We're making do. We made it work though because we have great friends on our side, like our presenting sponsors at Monticello Bank, where for 128 years, they've put people first. They've got locations in 21 different markets, 14 different counties, where people matter. They're going to put the numbers on your side, whether you're getting a home loan, auto loan, whatever kind of personal loan you need, whether you need a loan to get a new computer or you need a new office loan to fix your office internet, whatever it may be, Monticello Bank, they can hook you up. Where people matter, NBCBank.com, the Go NBC mobile app is where you can bank anywhere with Monticello Bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Luckett, I did take over Steaks. We'll start calling him Stephen Peek, Steak for short. Took over Peek's computer, and now I have the controls to everything. There's so many more buttons on his end. So I might press something and the whole podcast goes kaboom. But
is there an easy button on there? Is there a guarantee win button?
Man, I wish.
You got any drops over there?
We've got Polacek in the chat too.
We do. We had a little AMA while you were gone. It was we answered a couple questions there. So we passed the time very.
You were crushing.
You know, not gonna say it was easy, but we got some good filler there. There wasn't much dead air here on week 10's episode 11 personnel.
Unfortunately, we can't bet on who we're still waiting for our friends at FanDuel to post the props so we can bet on who's going to lead Kentucky in receptions. But we can blame Zach Arnett for that, right, Luckett?
Yes. maybe not super kind to Zach Arnett and me and Nick's exchange today. I mean, pretty much he's just not saying who's playing Saturday. And he's done this 3 weeks in a row now with Will Rogers. And then Woody Marks was surprisingly absent last week. So we're not going to know what's going on with them at quarterback until I'm in Davis Wade Stadium and we're watching warm-ups.
We're not going to know, but we already know it's Mike Wright. That's the part
that's annoying. That way. Yeah.
Like, unless you're going to go with the true freshman, which – I don't think would be the worst idea.
Well, the thing about that, I was doing some digging today. Apparently, Chris Parson had a severe knee injury last year, so he's recovering from that. So
he might not even be healthy.
He might even be practicing full go. Right. At the games, the walk on quarterback has been kind of the one taking the twos and the warm ups. These last 2 weeks when Wright has started, so.
Gotcha.
He might not have even an option. Now, I could be wrong on that, but he might not even be an option So, I mean, I would expect it to be the Mike Wright show. Marks, I think, has got a good chance to be back in the lineup. But it seems like, I mean, it's weird what's going on with Rodgers, because he had a hurt shoulder 2021. It was going into the Kentucky game where he had an AC joint injury, and he went out and had the best game of his career 2 years ago. And now he's got a shoulder injury, and he's not even dressing for these games.
Little odd.
The last two, at least. Yeah.
A little odd. Weird stuff in Starkville. We're going to get to more of that later, but we got to talk about one of our favorite characters in all of college football. It's time to break out the tiny violins and sing a swan song for our sweet prince, Brian Ferentz, who, after getting terminated, the total in the Iowa Northwestern game has actually gone up. It opened at 29.5, and now it's up to 31.5. So maybe the Hawks rally for Ferentz and get him some points. Just win one for the Gipper.
Yeah, they're not out of the, like, they might even be the favorite for the Big Ten West at this point. They could win that division easily in the last year. Yeah, I think that was, they got an interim AD in there, Nick. And that was her way, I think, of sending a message early that we're not doing this again. Like, to step in there and be like, all right, that's enough of this, of being a mockery of college football. So I'll be interested to see what that means for Kirk Ferentz. Does he want to go out and get an OC and try to go on a 2-3 year run here? Or is he just like, you know what? If my son can't coach here, I'm not going to coach here either. I'm out. And does that open the Iowa job? I think it's going to be interesting to follow here over the next few weeks and into December to see what he kind of decides to do there. For offensive coordinator, Scott Docterman wrote a piece who covers Iowa for The Athletic, was pretty much like, you know, typically he promotes from within. So they've got like a offensive analyst on the staff that's probably going to be the lead candidate to potentially get the job. But we'll see. So obviously this Kentucky football podcast, everyone knows Mark Stoops' connection with Iowa football. So get ready for that if that happens. Mm-hmm. That's something we're going to have to monitor. But
Kirk is 68. Like, why? I would just step away.
He's got 23 years. But he's like, I think he's near 200 or 300 career wins. I think he needs 12 more, 10 more, something like that. That's a career milestone. So maybe he wants to get that.
Could he pass Hayden Fry? Or has he already?
Let's look that up. Hayden Fry. This is a show on the internet, and we can look stuff up because we're on the internet. Hayden Fry is 143-89-6. Kirk's shorter that at Iowa. 143-89-6.
That's a good way to sing it, so you don't forget.
192-117. So yeah, he passed that probably like 2015. So he's already Iowa's all time. He's got 192 wins at Iowa, Nick.
So maybe he just tries to. Do I want to try to get one more year and get to 200? He's a college football Hall of Famer already. So
and there might be, there might be some pride in there about guiding them into the new landscape with the new Big Ten coming. So maybe that's something there. But yeah, we'll just have to see, because you're right. He's old. Like, how much longer? He's older, gentlemen. How much longer does he want to do this? He doesn't look his age. The guy's in great shape.
Yeah, when I saw he was 68, I was like, oh, good for you, Kirk. Like, Kirk has some old man strength too. He'd whoop my ass. There's no doubt about it. Like, I'm not messing with that guy. He probably can do that thing too, where he like punches you in like the side of your neck, and you just like pass out instantly. You know, like, he knows all of the like weak spots, the vulnerable points in your body, the pressure points that can just drop you like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah, quite possibly. I wouldn't put it past him. So, I don't know. That's just a weird situation. The whole thing is weird.
Yeah.
That they brought him back is weird. That they set up the 25 points per game thing was weird.
Which no team in the Big Ten West is hitting right now, by the way. And I think that would rank like I'm pretty sure all but one team in the SEC is averaging more than that per game.
Well, let's look it up right now. CFBstats.com, probably my favorite site on the internet.
It's a great site.
25.0 points per game is 86 overall. Northern Illinois is right at that threshold. Mississippi State, who we're going to talk about, is at 25.1, and they're not having a great season on offense. Scott Satterfield, whose team just vomits on itself whenever they're in the red zone, they're at 25.3 points per game. So this is not
But they hung 70 on EKU, like it. All right.
Kentucky is 30.8, 49, number 49 in the country, which is for Kentucky standard. They're getting the 30s a big deal because it's not something they've done very often under Stoops. And so, yeah, it's just the whole thing was weird. I'll be like, what does Brian Ferentz do? Does anybody hire him? What's next for him? Did we see him on ESPN or Fox calling games?
Is it weirder than Dabo's call-in show for Monday night? Because that was will we ever get a better call-in show moment ever? I find it hilarious that there are people who are taking Dabo's side. Like, Dabo really owned Tyler from Spartanburg. And it's like, did he? Or was he just kind of a D-bag and let a fan get under his skin?
Now, did you listen to the call?
Dude, the call was when he
You have to listen to the call.
He's a troop, right? So he put up his troop shield. He also put up his Bible shield. And like, I loved when he turned the Bible on him. Because here's the thing, like, we all love the good book. You can use it for just about anything, right? Like, there's a Bible phrase for everything. So like, he pulled out some Bible verse to like own Dabo, and that was when I was like, oh man, Dabo's got to be gritting his teeth in the rocks right now. It was that was something, man. That was something. And it what was his main line was like, he said, you're part of the problem. And then he said that what is it, appreciation over expectation. You're putting expectation over appreciation. It's like, well, Dabo, you say all these great things, but your team is not even close to that this year. Like, people are going to be mad. There's no way around it. So I think we had a little case of he doth protest too much, because they hit a little close to home when he talked about the program going through an overall slide over the last couple of years and then not just being a one-off.
Yeah, Chuck in the chat brings up a great point. Stoops might hire Brian Ferentz to coach the O-line. He's great at that. That would be awkward interactions for us if he knows how to use the internet. That would be very awkward. Those media scrums might look a little different here in the next couple of years. But anyway, to Dabo.
Oh, man.
That caller was being a jagoff. Like, yeah. He was being a jerk, just to put it bluntly. And all Dabo had to do was like, listen, buddy, I won you two national championships. That's why they're paying me $11.5 million. We're going through some struggles right now, but we're going to figure out. So you need to either get on this wagon or go cheer for South Carolina. And that should have been the call.
Yep.
Instead, he did the Dabo thing. He just goes on this big rant, and it was very much a dad lecture. Or even the lecture you might get from someone who's not your dad that's older, and you just say, have to sit there and listen to it, and you're like, I don't give a damn. You know, I think of like, if you ever got a party busted in college, Nick, and the police come, and they
try to tell you about making the right life decisions and all that bull crap.
Yeah, what it's gonna they run through all these scenarios with you, and you're just like, dude, okay, just write me my citation and so I can go to bed. And that's what it felt like. Like, how long is this gonna go? And it was just wild. I think Dabo can take, I think, some of the national criticism, but I think I understand why he gets a little ticked off when it comes from like the Clemson people.
Yeah,
because he is kind of Clemson football, if we're being honest. Right. He's got two national championship rings. They've won 8 ACC titles. They've won 10-plus games 12 years in a row, Nick. When I was in high school and then when I was in college, like, the big thing was Clemson couldn't do better than 8-4.
Clemson.
They were just like they were Charlie Brown. They would run to the football and miss it. And then he's made them this powerhouse, and they're getting a little sick of it, of what's happening this year. It's a bad year. He's got to make some changes. But I think he just got a little aggressive there. I'd have to question the radio show. Like, why did they let that caller go for that long?
Yeah. Why didn't they just cut him off?
What was going on
there?
15 seconds in, all right, let's move on. Instead, so, they let it become a whole ordeal.
You bring up a good point, because from afar, it's very fun for us to just like talk about how Dabo can't coach unless he's got a generational talent in quarterback. That's fun to do from afar. What I don't think you're getting, like, you're seeing it similarly where the scrutiny is much more harsh at the epicenter of it, right? And we're seeing the same thing with Kentucky right now. Because, like, Heath, he brought up a good question. Like, well, do they need offensive line coach? Right now, like, I know that people don't want to hear this, but, like, nationally, like, Kentucky's doing what most people expect Kentucky to do, which is be a hard out, maybe upset a few teams, but just, like, be, like, a middle-of-the-pack SEC team. And we have a lot of very angry people right now. Who, like, asking about Yenzer as a coach, like, the offensive line has been very good this year. Like, we went into
this year. He's earned an extra year for how the old
line. That's what I mean. Yeah, he's not recruiting. I find on KS board sometimes, especially when it comes to recruiting, there's a lot of just, like, I need to be mad at something. And, like, and it's like, what does Zach Yenzer have to do to make you happy? Like, he's not recruiting good enough. And it's like, well, Cam Dooley just decommitted. He was a Yenzer recruit. Like, there was another, you know, Yenzer's trying to get a four-star former Michigan State commit. Like, maybe he doesn't land him, but, like, I don't know. I do think there's a lot of just, like, I need to be very mad right now, which I get. Like, Kentucky's in a three-game losing streak. But also, I can't live my life that way. I can't stay mad the whole time. And I'm not going to just, like, oh, Zach Yenzer stinks. It's like, oh, that just feels like a little misplaced. It feels like a little misplaced anger, right?
Yeah, I mean, the finding Dylan Ray and him being a good, solid, full-time starter for you to play left and right guard, like, that's kind of what they've built this on.
That's what they needed a year ago, too, you know?
Yenzer's earned, like, he's earned the extra. And, like, before we said the preseason, we're going to learn, was it Scangarello or Yenzer? As we're learning through this year, to me, Nick, it seems like a lot of that was Scangarello.
You had a tweet that had all of the pressures over SEC play, and the pressure rate has been, what, right around 10%, except for the Missouri game?
I think the only bad one was the Missouri game. Everyone else has been under 30. Every game else has been under 30, I believe. And 30 is like kind of the benchmark. If you're under 30, that's really good. I think Georgia was right hovering around that. But they've stopped. They've held up well against most pass rushes they've seen this year outside of Missouri. So they've done a good job. And then in the run game, they're going to have a 1,000-yard rusher. Like, Ray Davis is going to end up with 1,200, 1,300 yards. So they're
might be the doing leader some good in the SEC. Yeah.
They're doing some good stuff in the run game as well. Like,
they're also, like, we thought they might be the weakest link of the team, and it's
– we're not even talking about them right now. Yeah.
No, exactly. Like, they haven't been bad. Like, there's other areas that, you know, you can argue, like, need to be addressed. That's one that I've just seen a little bit on our board that I don't quite understand. But I do understand the frustrations, though. Kentucky's in the middle of a three-game losing streak. And they're getting ready to go to a place that things haven't gone well. Like, they have not gone well. But here, there is some good news. If you've never been before, it's not the worst drive. And you can get last-minute tickets right now at Game Time by going to gametime.co or downloading the Game Time app, the fastest way and easiest way to get last-minute tickets to all the games. And I know there are seats available. All you got to do is scroll through the section, find which one you want to be in, boom. I found this out today, too. Like, they have a 110% guarantee where if you find a ticket in the same section, in the same row on another app that's cheaper, they'll give you your money back, 110%. It's the Game Time guarantee. It's the best place to get all of your last minute tickets and deals, whether it's Kentucky football, Kentucky basketball starting up. And let's be honest, I know there's going to be some empty seats at Rupp Arena that you can just hop on over there too. So Game Time app, promo code KSR, you're going to get $20 off your first purchase, and they do a flash sales at the last minute too to make sure you can get in the door for the best price available at Game Time. Down in Starkville, Luckett, we know them as ringing cowbells. They're also bringing back their uniforms from 98, which I love this, Luckett, because that was their high benchmark team, right? Like, that was the one team that went to the SEC championship. It was a bad SEC West that year. And Kentucky actually beat them that year. I want to say it was in Starkville too, but I know that I cannot confirm. But I can confirm Kentucky got the win over Mississippi State in 98. And I want to say that that was when Couch like set up a game-winning field goal like his time was expiring, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that game was in Lexington. We're looking it up right now.
Okay.
November 7th, 1998, Cats 37, Dogs 35.
Okay, yeah, field goal at the last minute. Sorry, Matty G, we did start early today. I apologize. Just we're in Lexington. I don't want to be here all night. I was talking to Brad White earlier. Optimistic. They're trying to keep it optimistic, like it, which makes me want to ask you this question. Is there some loser talk going around right now, the Kentucky football facility, or is this the way – like? Is having a positive mindset a good thing to have going into a game against a team that you should beat? Like, you want your boys confident that they can get the job done.
I haven't listened to Brad White yet, but I heard Tuesday in offense and Mark Stoops Monday. They sound a little too chippy for a team that just lost to Tennessee. Do you think I'm wrong on that?
So – I do, but at the same time, like some of the things, like,
yeah, I'm not in the locker room.
Gonna,
so,
like, what else are you going to say? Yeah. You know, when we ask you, like, hey, the offense looked better, what worked? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm not in the lot. You don't want them just, you don't want it to be a place of dread, obviously. So maybe it's just something we just got to move on. Like, let's just move on. We got a bunch of games left. It's the third in a row.
Mm-hmm. It was a little weird when today J.J. Weaver's like, well, what's the mindset? And it's like, man, football's supposed to be fun. Sometimes you just got to laugh. And I'm like, oh, it's a little rough. But I get what they're saying. Like, I think part of the Kentucky defensive struggles, maybe making mountains out of molehills and pressing a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Especially, like, you know, they had played poorly. Like, they got their ass kicked at Georgia. They did all right against Missouri, like statistically, but the short fields just killed them. They couldn't get off the field. And so they go in, they got this Tennessee team that they know is just like, oh, they're going to go fast. And maybe they just got a little too tight, for the lack of a better term. So they've been
yeah, I don't,
so maybe a little bit of a positive mindset can go a long way against a bad Mississippi State team.
I think defensively, they've played three top 20 offenses in a row. Carson Beck was on Dane Brugler's top 50 big board today, Nick. He's putting together a really, really good season. He's been really good. They can throw that football, Georgia can. This is as good as they've ever thrown it under Kirby Smart. So that's explainable.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri's got a top 10 passing offense. That's explainable.
Yeah.
Tennessee does not have a good passing offense by the numbers.
Nope.
But they have a scheme that gives Kentucky all kinds of issues 3 years in a row. It's all been all 3 years. That game 3 years in a row has started with a Tennessee 50-plus yard touchdown in five plays.
Yeah.
Two passes and one run. They just can't figure them out for whatever reason. So maybe you just kind of have to flush it down the toilet. So that's what I was thinking. Maybe that's just what they're doing. They're just, you know, we got beat. Let's not sulk over it. Let's move on. Specifically, offensively,
Before we move on real quick, I don't think that Kentucky created any turnovers either in those three games. Am I mistaken there?
Harrison had two picks. He had a pick against Georgia and a pick against Missouri.
I completely blanked on the one against Missouri.
Early in the game.
But I do think that, you're right. It was early in the game that set up that quick score that went up 14-0. But I do think that that can be a big part of it. My question for you, though, do we think that I think Mike Wright has Kentucky's number, because I know there's some Kentucky fans that are certainly thinking that, right? Like, because not only did he have the 100-plus rushing and passing yard game last year in that game-winning touchdown drive, but people forget he came in late in that 2021 game, and he, like, was annoying as hell. He's strung together some long drives. It was 31-3.
Two fourth down. Two fourth down conversions.
Yeah, and then they put points on the board. He threw two touchdowns that ended that game, where it didn't leave a bad taste in your mouth because they still won, but it was just like, oh, come on, what the hell? So is Mike Wright Brad White's kryptonite? Say that five times fast. Is Mike Wright Brad White's kryptonite?
They did not have a good plan, or the plan they had, they did not execute well for Wright last year. That was very disappointing. But Kentucky lost that game because they only scored 21 points against a bad, bad, bad Vandy defense. So they were in a position where they could get beat by Wright. And if Ox doesn't have the hands or the face penalty, we're not really talking about it, right?
True. Yeah.
There's some situations there. They're up big the first time Wright comes in. And then freshman year, he made a couple plays, but it was like Wildcat quarterback, and Kentucky was even up big in that game. So it's been kind of unique. Like, when I pulled the numbers this week, and it's nothing like anything crazy. It's like 7 yards per attempt, 6 yards a rush. I mean, it's not like he's totally just Lamar Jackson them. So, to me, Nick, I look at it, Mike Wright's a career under 60, I think, completion percentage guy.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky can't force any incompletions. Like, let's see some incompletions this week.
Yeah, yeah. No, that and – the other part of it, too, is the run
55.7% overall in his career on 216 throws. Let's see some incompletions this week.
He's 50% in his two starts this year for State. Yeah. He hasn't been good for them. And, you know, that matters, right? It's a little bit different when Vandy spread out offense versus a pro-style offense that Mississippi State's trying to run. The other part of it, though, is the discipline in the run game. I mean, that's one thing that JJ brought up, is like a lot of last year's game was like three plays. You know, it was Ray Davis popping that big run early, Mike Wright popping a big run, and I remember the fourth down.
Yeah,
and the fourth down one. But like the Mike Wright one, it was like everybody, like JJ got greedy and crashed down on the read option and just let him, like that guy run free. You know, it's like, you know, I believe it was JJ, whoever it was, crashed down real hard. So, you weren't very, like, I don't want to say, they were pretty undisciplined a week ago against Tennessee when it came to fitting the run. And, you know, as White said, some of that might have to do with the stress of playing the tempo. And, you know, you mentally get fatigued when you can't, your mind doesn't have time to reset and think through your reads before every single play. But really a lot of this game, even if they do have Woody Marks back at running back, who's been out for a couple weeks now.
He missed one full game.
But even if they have him back, a lot of this is going to be like, all right, can you just prove to me that you can contain Mike Wright and make him throw the football to beat you? Because, like,
yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of it. Like, just make him do that, and they're going to struggle to score points.
They've scored two offensive touchdowns the last – 8 quarters with Wright in there.
And what a game doing it, though.
It was good enough to beat Arkansas, and then it wasn't good enough this last week against Auburn. They just haven't been good offensively. They're going through a huge scheme change. An offense that wants to play a lot of tight ends. They don't have any tight ends, so that's causing issues. They have personnel that's running air raid.
Their best receiver is at Georgia. You know, he transferred after the year.
They don't have an air at all. They actually have two good receivers, I think, Tolu Griffin and Xavion Thomas, but the scheme just isn't working for them.
Tolu Smith plays for
– Not Tolu Smith. Football? Tolu Griffin.
Are you sure?
I got my Tolu and to my Tolu mixed up. I apologize.
You know me. I love to mix up Mississippi SEC basketball coaches.
Just listen to these point totals, Nick. They had 24 – in regulation against Arizona. They had 14 in regulation against LSU. We all know about that LSU defense. They had 30 against South Carolina, but that was a game where Tolu Griffin, half of his receiving yards this year, nearly all of them came against Carolina. There was one game, their passing game really looked good. They had 17 against Alabama, 7 against Arkansas, 13 against Auburn. This team is not scoring the football. on offense. They are 100th in success rate, Nick, which is, I believe, 12th or 13th in the SEC.
So they're 100th?
They're 113th in success rate, excuse me, which is 13th in the SEC.
Well, what's funny is they're 120th in pass defense too. I did remember that one. I didn't have.
They are
really bad.
They are dead last in opponent's completion percentage. Hmm. Now, they're having a lot of the same problems as Kentucky in that they're just giving up, like what some would say, they're playing soft zone. They're just getting a lot of underneath completions, and it's just like, what is going on? Offensively, they just have not been good this year. They have gotten some explosive plays, both in the run and the pass, but they're moving at a slow pace, number 118th in plays per game, 61 snaps per game, and they're not finishing drives in the red zone, 82nd in red zone touchdown percentage. So it's just not a good offense. I mean, just put it bluntly, and without Rodgers, it's not as good with Wright in there. Mm-hmm. And so this should be, on paper, a bounce back spot for Kentucky's defense, but we have to see them go do it. And it's a road game, and it's at night, and it's going to be a charged up place. I mean, the fan base you get online doesn't have a lot of buzz, but this feels like something where come Saturday they'll be night kickoff, 98 team reunion.
Jackie Sherrill, yeah,
that'll end up being that. It'll end up being a good atmosphere. Tennessee, Mississippi State is very much on the verge of a 4-8 season when you kind of look at the schedule. Kentucky at A&M. And then they at Mississippi to close the year, and I can't remember the third team they have mixed in there. But it very much 4-8 is very much on the table. And then if that happens, they might move on from Arnett. You never know. But this is a big game for them because they've got a chance to get this. Like this, one more win pretty much locks Arnett in, I think, for next year.
Okay. So I was wondering how hot you thought his seat might get. Because I think he's fine,
but if he goes 4-8, it's a conversation. Southern Miss is the other team they play. That'll probably get them 5-7, 1-7. So he could get to 6 if he picks off one. So like this is, and they have a long bowl streak going, Nick, because they went every year with Moorhead. They win a bowl game every year with Mullen. You're talking back till Sylvester Croom. Their bowl streak. I mean, it's one of the longer ones of college football right now. That would be that's in danger heading into November.
The thing I didn't realize, too, is that they had more turnover at the athletic director position, too. And anytime you get a new boss, that's always something to worry about. But I do want to talk a little bit about Mississippi State's defense, too. This 3-3-5 used to really be a pain in the ass. Real big pain in the ass. It gave Cohen a ton of fits in 21. Last year, it gave Scangarello fits. I think Kentucky ended up scoring 28, but
I threw a pick six too.
Yeah. So it creates a lot of confusion. And when we were having conversations in the offseason, I mean, we were talking about like, can somebody please hire Zach Arnett to go elsewhere? We did not think he would get promoted, but that still somehow got still him worked. Out of the job.
Yeah.
And I'm over the moon because this is not the same defense that it once was, and I don't get it. Like it, I don't understand it. I'm not mad about it, but like, I'm glad that it's not giving teams as many fits as it did in the past because it messed with Kentucky as good as anybody.
No doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zach Arnett promoted Matt Brock to defensive coordinator. He's a young 30-something, but he never worked for Rocky Long, which is where this defense originated from. Mm-hmm. His only association to it was with, to my knowledge, was with Arnett in Starkville. Yeah. So he's trying to run this, and it's just not working very well. 96 in points per drive, 100th in success rate, 100 and they're not getting havoc, 115th in passes defended per game, 93rd in red zone touchdown percentage. They're in the hundreds in third and fourth down efficiency. It's just a bad defense, Nick. And when you kind of look at the outputs, they gave up 24 points to Arizona, but Arizona had 5 turnovers in that ball game and damn near won the game. Outside of that Arizona game, they're not forcing any turnovers. They forced 5 turnovers in the other 7 games. They just had half of them come in one game. LSU 41 points. Jaden Daniels threw for over 340 yards. South Carolina 37 points. Spencer Rattler had a 90% completion rate, averaged like 12, 13 yards per attempt. Like, had his best game of the season. Even South Carolina's struggling running game had a good game. Bama ranked 40 on Mississippi State, and they've had some offensive issues at times this year. Western Michigan scored 28, and their quarterback had a big game, over 270 yards throwing the football. Auburn, who could not, if they played 7-on-7 with no defense and they played a simulated game, I'm not sure they would throw for 300 yards, what we've seen from Auburn's passing game. And they averaged nearly 9 yards per attempt and could not be stopped in the first half. So
yeah.
Outside of Arkansas, every passing game that has played this defense has gotten right. And that's why Danny Enos got fired after that Arkansas game, because that was how bad that was. And so they've had really – this is the worst defense I think Kentucky has played for Mississippi State since Stoops has been here. The only one that other comes close is that 2016 one with Peter Sermon. And they Kentucky ended up scoring like 40 points. That was the McGinnis game. So they had a huge game against them.
Oh, forget that Louisville and Mississippi State switched defense coordinators. Yeah.
Yep. Mississippi State won that trade. Them
for Peter Sermon.
Yeah, Mississippi State won that trade. And then Kentucky hasn't been a favorite down here during this streak. So this is the first time they've been a favorite. This is the first time they've played a defense that's bad. And Devin Leary has experience against this defense.
Yep.
NC State ran a 3-3-5 defense. So he went up against it every day in practice. He's played down in Starkville in 2021. He threw for 300-something yards.
Yeah. He averaged, aside from an interception early on, like State gave up a 100-yard kickoff return on the opening kickoff and was just playing from behind the whole game.
Which is Tula Griffin. He's dangerous at that, so Kentucky's going to have to be hesitant in the kicking game. But
kick it out of the end zone, chance for.
Like, to me, that's kind of what this game is all about. The defense is probably just – they're going to have issues. They're going to give up completions and whatnot. But to me, more so, this game is about Kentucky's offense in this passing game. We've seen them run wild against a competent SEC defense in Florida and Missouri. I mean, they really ran the ball well against Missouri. We've seen them spin that thing against a competent SEC defense in Tennessee. Like, so we've seen it all now. Now can you put it together against Nick? This is the worst team they've played since Vanderbilt. It's the worst offense they've played since Vanderbilt. It's the worst defense they've played since Vanderbilt. Like, this is a game they should go down there and win.
You got to win. Kentucky hasn't won there since 2008, three-game losing streak. Yeah. Mark Stoops has never beat an SEC West team on the road. Like, this is – you have to break that stupid streak.
Notably, you should go down here and score 30-something points. Like, to me, that's what it is. Like, if you go and score 24 points, you're going to win this game. If you go and score 30-plus, you're probably going to win by double digits. So just go do it, right? Just go do it.
That Tennessee game cannot be a flash in the pan. Like that, the offensive output that we saw against the Vols, this is where you kind of put your foot on the gas. In Leary, that 2021 season, he was down in Starkville second week of the year. The reason why he got all of the offseason accolades is because in his final five games, he either threw for 300 yards or he had four passing touchdowns in every one of those games. He really cranked it up in November, was firing on all cylinders. They need to run that back, right? Like, there's no – like, you need – maybe – I mean, it doesn't have to be identical, but you got to go score some points. Like, there's no really other way around it. Like, that's where we're – that's the point we're at in this season. Go do it. Go score some points because – you've got the tools. You've seemingly figured it out, finally. Now it's time to do it on a regular basis and produce a few fireworks in the month of November.
Yeah, Leary, his last five games in 2021 at NC State, 65.7% completion rate, 8.8 yards per attempt, 18 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. So that was the Leary that everyone was excited about coming to Kentucky, and we saw a glimpse of that, I think, against Tennessee. And the only game he didn't throw for 300 yards was against North Carolina when they completed a 13-point comeback in the last 3 minutes of the game, which might have been his best performance in college.
North Carolina, Mac Brown's North Carolina blew a game, which, by the way, Mac, you've lost two games as a double-digit favorite at home. I mean, I know we're not one to talk right now, Luckett.
Hey, Georgia Tech one was away, but yeah.
Well, no. Okay. Nevertheless, double-digit favorites, and they're losing. And, like, blowing huge leads.
To sub-70 power rating teams in the ACC.
And now they're going to go and let
with Drake May.
Stupid ACC title game.
With Drake May, who Brugler had number one overall on his big and board.
He was going, like, I could already hear it early on in the year, but, like, Caleb Williams. After about 2 weeks, it was like, anybody notice that Caleb Williams is really at his best when he's not operating within the offensive system? It's just like play breaks down, he ad-libs and does something awesome. It's like Drake May, he knows how to operate within a scheme. And it's like, yeah, well, I can see, you know, they're going to pick Drake May over him, and then there's going to be, there's going to be, when just wait till March. When, like, in between, like, a Wednesday in March when draft talk really starts heating up, Stephen A. Smith is going to be losing his damn mind. Like, you mean to tell me you're going to take Drake May over Caleb Williams? And yeah, like, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, just
the one thing that sucks is we are going to have Piper going, da, 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 da. Like, I really hate that we're going to miss out on that this year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. I forgot it because they laid off McShay, didn't they?
Yeah, he's like doing stuff with the Ringer. Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
Priscilla, yeah.
Back to Mississippi State.
Guess our ass.
They need to win this game, Nick. Like, this is a good matchup. They're the better team. This is a game I think Kentucky should. The only reason I think that they should be nervous or tight is if there's just like a +2. Or more turnover differential. Because even Arizona, Mississippi State squeaked by Arizona. They were it forced 5 takeaways and still barely won that game. Every other – Nick, this is a program that is 1-9 against the spread as a home underdog since 2019. This is a spot they do not perform well in. Kentucky's never been favored in this spot, so hopefully that's what is needed to turn the mojo here. But this is a game they really need to win, and it's – Kentucky still has a chance to end this season on a high note. And I think a lot of that is tied to the passing game. Like, if you get that passing game humming, the vibes going in the bowl game are going to be good.
Well, yeah.
No matter where you're going. But you've got, like, this is the one you got to get. Like, you need to go down there. Last I checked, the weather's going to be good. Like, you need to go down there and throw that thing around the yard, get the run game going again, and score some points. And if you do that, you're going to be fine in this game. But if you don't do that, then you're in trouble. It's just they just need to win this. They got to get this.
Don't even this one game
dark cloud off their head.
Don't want to look past anybody to the final 4 game stretch. Just got to get this one. Mm-hmm. If you think those trends are going to hold too, and you want to get a little action on the game, FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sports book. Go ahead and download it right now. Put in the promo code PERSONNEL when you sign up. Make a $5 money line wager. Win it and get $150 in bonus bets. So if you haven't signed up for FanDuel yet, you can get some nice juice right there for the Cats. All you got to do is make a $5 money line wager. If they win, you get an extra $150 on top of that in bonus bets when you play with FanDuel and the FanDuel Sportsbook. And Luckett, I like too, they've got college basketball coming up right around the corner. They're offering a UK futures promo where if you make a future wager, whether it's like Cats to win the SEC, you know, Cats to the Final Four, if you make a $50+ future wager, they're going to give you $10 in bonus bets every time Kentucky wins in the month of November. So they play 7 games. Most of those are at home. I think the only difficult game there is Kansas in the Champions Classic and the rest. I mean, you know how November basketball is. So way for you to rack up some extra money in bonus bets when you play with FanDuel. FanDuel.com/personnel must be 21 over and present in Kentucky to play. Real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus bets issued as non-withdrawable deposit. Must be used within 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. This is usually where we give our single game parlay, Luckett. But as we mentioned before, Zach Arnett's a coward and he's afraid to share anything. So there.
I'll say this. This is going to be the Devin Leary is here parlay. We are going over on passing yards. We are going over on passing touchdowns. We are going over on the Kentucky team total, which I think is at 23.5 or 24.5 right now, Nick. So those are the three we're going over, and then we're going to look at some receiver props too.
Yeah.
This is the game he gets going. And so
I'm calling the shot now.
Yeah. Calling we'll the shot now, but that's what it's going
to
be.
Friday or Saturday, and we've been so close to cracking the codes on one of these things. I did hit a single game parlay with Monday Night Football. So, I mean, we're hot, all right? When you're hot, you squat, and we're going to get hot, and we're finally going to nail on these damn things.
Yeah. I mean, if Jimmy G had – I also Lions minus 7 on Monday. If Jimmy G had any accuracy, I was going to be in a tight spot because of those Lions turnovers deep in the red zone and the pick six. They had Devontae Adams wide open like three times.
Oh, yeah. A 98-yard touchdown, 68-yard touchdown. Shout out to Jimmy G for sucking. He's getting benched for Aiden O'Connell, a former member of the Brom squad, the Purdue Brommer maker. And Champ Kelly is the interim GM with the Raiders now. So I know he's interviewed for a couple of GM jobs. So hopefully,
interviewed for the Raiders last time, and they offered him that job. I mean, he took that.
He had I think he had one last cycle, too. That was – he was, you know, one of the last three candidates or something. So hopefully this gets him in the mix. And I just working for the Raiders, it's not good long term success plan career. You know, just
Josh McDaniels. I mean, have you ever seen someone fail so bad in coaching job?
Also, how could he be that good? Like, did Belichick just cover up all of his awfulness? Like, I don't know how you can.
Yeah. I mean, calling plays for Tom Brady certainly helps. But like Mac Jones had his best year under McDaniels. So it might just be a thing where it's like, hey, dude, just worry about the offense. But if he has to worry about anything else, he just can't.
They went and signed Hunter Renfrow to like this huge extension and then just don't throw him. His passing yard prop the other night was 6.5 yards. He's getting paid like $80 million.
Yeah. I mean, them over the last few years have just been the worst drafting team. Specifically, like when Mayock was there, they just were
Cleveland reaching, Farrell. That was terrible.
Reaching on like, even this year, they took the Tyree Wilson guy from Texas Tech, who's got the back injury or whatever. Yeah. That was a guy I wasn't as high on as the consensus. I'd have to look back and see what they did trade wise there, but that just didn't make sense. We'll see what happens with O'Connell, but. You know, it just seems like an organization that they don't know what they're doing, for sure. So maybe Champ could get in there and like knock some sense in those fools.
Do some head busting.
Yeah, just start drafting better. That'll fix a lot of your issues. I mean, yeah, they got lucky with Crosby because that just kind of fell into their lap, really.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out Maxion. Well, Max Shun with Max Crosby. We got Pigskin preview coming up tomorrow, but we don't preview Thursday games. I've already placed a wager on Troy -5.5 in the rivalry game against South Alabama. It was a big win at Texas State.
Nick, you know Troy's quarterback is on pace to throw for about 3,500 yards, and their running back is on pace to run for like 1,500 yards. They're having a big year offensively down there. After last year, they just won with nothing but defense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Summerall could be 20-4 by the end of this year or something like that, especially if they win Saturday.
It's having a hell of Thursday night. There. Thursday night football. So we have a Kentucky exhibition. We've got Thursday night football, Troy USA, and then we've got Amazon Will Levis versus the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road. He's got TJ Watt coming for his ass, which that really could like. There's it could get ugly for William like that. That has what's the total there?
It's 43.
Well, it smells like an under, like a hold your nose and just.
Or not 43. I think it's like 37.
Ooh, that's too.
I'm on the team I'm not a big fan of, Nick. The Steelers -2.5 there. Steelers off a loss. Levis's first start, second start, first road start. Had that big game, but a lot of that was just big plays. I like this short week for Levis. I like the Steelers. That might help Levis a short week. But I like the Steelers.
Less time to like revel in his success, you know?
Yeah. Well, less time for the Steelers to kind of like do their game prep.
The total's in at 36 and a half. Sheesh.
Yeah. I like the Steelers laying 2.5 there. But that's, I mean, the Titans scored more than 17. I wouldn't feel good about that.
Right. The problem with the Steelers is they just do this thing where like they suck, and then you look up and all of a sudden it's like, wait, they're only down by a touchdown? Like,
yeah,
okay,
it was just like
time for a comeback. And then
Sunday they had like 5-3 and outs in a row to start the game or something. Yeah, and then you looked up and George Pickens scores a touchdown. It's like, oh, they might win this.
But then Kenny got hurt, and then Mitch Trubisky's throwing picks in the triple coverage downfield, and you're like, damn it. So
the one he threw to the – I mean, it was almost like he just threw it right at the safety. The safety just stayed there.
Oh, man.
I mean, it was almost like the ball just had a magnet on that safety's chest, and it just went right to him.
See, this is rich coming from you. Freaking Joe Burrow is back on his BS, and you're just dogging the steel.
I'm a happy man right now. Not going to lie. when Joe Burrow's playing like that, it makes the Sundays at the Luckett House are very, very fun. Well, when that's the football I'm getting from the Bengals. And I'm very, very excited to get back from Starkville for Sunday Night Football this week. Very, very excited.
It's going to be a big one. Bills
getting
Bengals.
Roosters on the way home, and I'm going to have a Sunday night here in Mount Washington.
Well, we've had a good time with you all. We started a little bit early, and we had technical issues, and you all stuck around with us. We appreciate it so much. We would really appreciate it if you subscribe, if you like, and if the Cats won this weekend. That would be pretty awesome, too. Good luck in Starkville, Mr. Luckett. Go Cats, and go Croker.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.